Reading in Psalms 8 once again, beginning with verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, in Bible terms, O Jehovah, our Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Jehovah, our Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I'm sure you would agree that our names are very important to us, that we respond to our name from the time we are very young. We learn our name, and when called, we respond to that name. Our name begins to take on a characteristic that identifies who we are. We find our identity through our name. A lot of us remember how difficult it was naming our children, our first child, and sometimes our other children. We wanted to have a name for them that they would wear with honor throughout life. And so we grow up with that name, and it defines in many ways who we are. It provides us a point of identification. Anybody who knows you knows your name. Your name is a gateway to who you are. We take pride in our name, our family names, because that represents our character and our family lineage. And so it takes on a meaning that is very meaningful and important to each one of us. When we meet someone new for the first time, one of the first questions is, "What is your name?" And giving them our name. When a woman finally is interested in a man and he says, "Will you marry me?" she then agrees to change her name. The reason is that based on what she has seen and what she has heard over the whatever period of time, it gives her the idea of confidence that for her there is a better future lies ahead marrying this man. And she's willing to change her existing name because there is a benefit to her in doing so. I think there's a great lesson for you ladies here that if you have to change your name and you know in advance you're going to be worse off, then don't change your name. But in the Bible, names were always very important from the very beginning of time. We find in the Bible that Abram's name was changed to Abraham, the father of many nations, the father of a great nation. The name of Jacob was changed to Israel. There were names of the prophets and their children that were given, such as the children of Isaiah and the children of Hosea, that had very deep meaning as far as God's dealings with Israel. And so God changed names, and they had a meaning of that defined who that person was. Probably more so than even with our names, as taking on a deeper meaning for the person in their life. Well, when it comes to the names of God that are given in the Bible, it is amazing how many names God gives us for Himself in the Bible. Do you realize there are over 80 different names of God? From Genesis to Revelation, either the name or the variation of the meaning of the name, over 80 names of God given in the Bible. And the reason God wants to give you all of these different names is so that you can get a different perspective on who He is. Because the reason we need each one of us these different names of God is that one name doesn't fully contain God. When we simply say that word God, it does not fully express all of the different nuances that make up that basic term. When we say the name of God, what God wants you to do is to know Him in relationships and specific situations of life, that through the many different names that are given of God in the Bible, we can come to know Him in a deeper relationship associated with different names by which He has either been known at some point in history and wishes for us to be understanding of that background behind that name. So God's name is critical to our understanding of His nature. God's nature is multidimensional. And so God wants us to come face to face with His significance and His substance. So when Moses, for example, was preparing to go back down to Egypt, and he met with God at the burning bush, he said, "When I go back to Egypt and I come before Pharaoh, they're going to want to know who sent me. So what is your name?" And God then unveiled one of the great names. He said, "Tell them I am that I am." So there's a whole study of names that is fascinating and very practically helpful to us in life, to examine and take a magnifying glass and look at the names of God that are given throughout the Bible. The goal of that study is not to be able to just pronounce those names, but to understand the nature behind them. The name has a meaning. In other words, that name relates to an attribute or a characteristic of God that you need to be familiar with. Each one of us needs to be familiar with. So God's name shows up in the situations of life and gives us insight into the nature of God that we need to understand to address that situation that we are facing. So the Bible often talks about calling on the name of God. And understanding how God is able to help us in that particular situation. When David faced Goliath, he was dealing with an overwhelming situation. 9 feet 6 inches of giant that had come out to face him on the battlefield. And David is a little ruddy shrimp of a man, a young man. So Goliath comes out to David, and David is carrying a staff, you know, a stick. Goliath makes the statement to him. He said, "Am I a dog that you come to fight me with sticks?" He says, "I'm going to feed you to the birds." And David's answer is powerful. David's answer is very instructive to us. There in 1 Samuel 17, he said, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin in hand, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then all of this assembly will know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands." You see, David understood the name of God. He knew there was something about that name that overcame that situation that he was faced with, that gave him the advantage because of who God is. But if you don't know that name, and you don't know how it applies to that situation, and you find yourself in that overwhelming situation, because it's hard to use a name that you don't know. And then when you do come up against a Goliath in your mind, you don't know what name to reach for. So God's name is like a key that unlocks the treasure to your mind and gives you added strength and confidence in the situations of life that you have. So there's a name. Every situation that we face in life, there's a name for it, if we look into the pages of Scripture. And I love Proverbs 18 and verse 10. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It is a fortified place of refuge for the righteous. And we can go there. And the name of God gives us the confidence and the hope and the strength to deal with life. Psalms 111 and verse 9, it says, "Awesome is His name." So, we need to become more familiar, I believe, each one of us, with the names of God. Because those names are there for a purpose. Those names are there to help us understand the characteristics of God, the attributes of God, in a way that can relate to our life. And through that, we can have power and significance behind that name, and be able to use it when that situation comes up in life. So in Psalm 8, David begins, he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." He He doesn't just say, I know your name. He says, how majestic is your name. Your name is excellent, in other words. Your name is magnificent. He goes on to say in verse 2 that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. What David is telling us here is that not everyone is going to know the name of God. And God designed it that way. It is out of the mouth of babes and infants that God has ordained strength. And the people who are going to know the name of God and be able to benefit from the name of God are people who are like babes and infants. People who are dependent upon God. You know, there's many examples in the Bible of how God has used infants to express His truth and His greatness. There was one occasion when Jesus was, shortly before He was His death in Jerusalem, He was coming into Jerusalem, and the little children were saying, Hosanna to God in the highest. And some of the Pharisees and the leaders, they were saying, can't you get those kids to shut up over there? Jesus said, well, out of the mouth of babes and infants, God has ordained strength. But a baby is dependent upon God. So God restricts the use of His name to those, to people who are not dependent, to people who are intellectual, proud, arrogant. God doesn't reveal His names to those people. He reveals it to infants. People who are humble, people who depend upon God. They are the ones that God has designed His wisdom to match and help. Paul talked about in the book of 1 Corinthians that it wasn't many mighty, it wasn't many great that God has spoken His word, that become His people. It was those who are humble and poor and insignificant in the world. Those are the people that God, and the reason is because they are willing to trust God. They're willing to humble ourselves before God. The thing about a baby that you notice is they need mama and daddy. They are always depending upon them. They understand that. And God said He discloses His excellent majesty, majestic name to babes and infants. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, talked about this. He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. So there must be a humbling of our hearts before God in order to appreciate the names of God and the characteristics of God in our lives. You have to be an infant. You have to be a baby in terms of your attitude of dependency upon God. And I do too, each one of us. We need to be dependent upon God. And that's when He can use us. That's when He can give us His strength and we can manifest His glory to those around us. We have to humble our pride and realize that we are dependent upon God. We're dependent upon God to feed us, to clothe us, to give us our breath, provide for us. And so we are taught by Jesus to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. That comes from the word that we get holy or sanctified. And what it means is set apart. Set apart is your name, God. It is in a special place. It is unique. It is not common. It is not ordinary. In other words, I understand that your name is one of a kind. There is no other like you. You are hallowed. You are holy. You are sanctified. Your name is hallowed. So I am not to use the name of God in a regular way, in a common, ordinary way. I am to use the name of God because of the reverence and the respect that God deserves. His name is to be set apart. We're told in the Ten Commandments, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." That would be the opposite of hallowed. To profane the name of God. To use it in an ordinary sense. Is it not just in the sense of profanity that we associate sometimes, taking the name of God in vain? But it goes beyond that. To understand that God's name is hallowed. God's name is not to be used in vain. And so when God says to us what His name is, He is instructing us. He says, "I do not want you to use my name in vain. I want you to hallow my name. And I'm going to reveal my name to you because that expresses who I am." And His name is majestic in all the earth, David said. It is for everyone. In all four corners of the earth, God wants His name to have meaning, significance. God's going to do that throughout the earth by telling us who He is, by revealing His character to us, and not letting us tell Him who we want Him to be. When God said to Moses, "Tell them I am that I am," what he is saying is, "I'm going to tell you who I am. You're not going to tell me who I am." So David says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" David says, "I know how great your name is. When I look up and see the heavens, I'm reminded of how great your name is." And do you have any idea how vast the universe is? How great the universe is? How many trillions of stars? How many hundreds of thousands of galaxies there are out in the universe? And David said, "That is the work of your fingers." Whenever we talk about our picking up something, that if it is a heavy load, you have to use the full force of your hands to pick it up. And we can go even beyond that. We use our arms, we use our shoulders, we use our back to pick up a heavy load. But when the Bible talks about God creating the universe, He said it's the work of your fingers. In other words, God didn't have to even use the full force of His hand to create this vast universe. That was just finger work for God. You know, if you pick up something with your fingers, that's not very big. That's not very heavy. The Bible uses this kind of language where it takes the human body and it uses that to help us understand God, how big God is. It's just a figure of speech. Because God is invisible. But the work of your fingers. When you created the heavens, all you needed was your fingers. Look how amazing it is. The vast universe. And so he goes on to say there, he wants us to know his name. How excellent is his name. And he says, when I consider the heavens the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? In other words, the bigger God gets, the smaller we get. When we look at God, and the reason that we are so big in our own eyes and our own thinking is because we have forgotten who God is. We have no comprehension of the greatness of God. And so what we do is we build idols to ourselves, and then we visit them every morning in the mirror. But David, who understood his smallness in the light of God, said, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? In other words, while we are reduced in comparison to the greatness of God, at the same time we find significance. Because this great God cares about us. And that's pretty amazing. That's pretty awesome. That's very encouraging and uplifting when we understand ourselves in relationship to God, then we understand our significance under Him, not independent of Him, but under God. That's where we find our significance. And so in looking at the universe, comparing that with man, we are so small, we are a speck in this universe, and yet God cares about us. So he says, again in verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You see, he closes just as he began this song. He puts those bookends on this great attribute of exalting God, helping us to appreciate, O Lord, our Lord, O Jehovah, our Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I love how David also in Psalm 34 expresses his adoration of God and his worship of God. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. God may seem small to you right now. He may be a little g. He may be small case letters. But when we take the magnifying glass and put it on the names of God in the Scripture, and began to understand what those names mean and what the nature of God behind it refers to and how it fits with the situation that we're dealing with in life. That G gets a lot bigger. That O gets a lot bigger. That D gets a lot bigger. In other words, it gets magnified. Not that God gets any bigger than when you started, but He gets bigger to us. We are able to see Him in His greatness. Right now, when we look at God, we look at Him down on this level. But when we take the magnifying glass and look God's nature, character, deeper, and understand His names, then God takes on a whole new dimension in our lives. And so David is inviting us to magnify the Lord with us, together magnify the Lord. And when that happens, God gets more worship. He gets more praise. He gets more devotion from His people that He can work through and that He can be glorified by. So God becomes big in our worship. God becomes big in our praise. And when we put on the glasses and we magnify the name of God and Elohim and Adonai and El Elyon and El Shaddai and Jehovah Jireh, we begin to realize God is awesome. The name of God is awesome. His name just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Not because we made Him bigger, but we put the magnifying glass on His name. And God keeps getting larger and larger. And the bigger He gets, the more worship He receives. Because we learn from the study of Scripture, there is no one like our God. There is no one like our Sovereign. There's no one like our King. And whatever situation comes up in life, God is there to help you face it. His name is excellent in all the earth. His name is majestic in all the earth. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. We pray and hope that as we look into the names of God, that our worship will increase and be enlarged. That God will be glorified. Will you come as we stand together and sing?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.